Praise God. So nice to be here, sheltered from the storm, literally, this evening. Praise God. I don't know how bad it is out there, but I know it's good in here. Now, Lord, I just ask you to anoint me in these few moments that I have to share. I'm asking you to put your hand upon the Word of God. And Lord, let it find its deepest lodging in every human heart and mind. Lord, you always send your word with a purpose, and it never comes back empty. I thank you tonight, Lord, for speaking, for reaching each of our hearts. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you a verse of scripture from the book of Hebrews. This was written to the Jewish Christians, and it's about Jesus Christ. And now I'm just going to read it to you. Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 9 and then verses 14 and 15, the writer said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." I want to talk tonight about the fear of dying. You know, in the law of averages, in a room this size with this many people, I don't know how many are here tonight, rough guess, 600 or so. The law of averages, in 5 years, several of us will have died. Will have gone on. Not something you know, we're not going to clap our hands, get all excited about it at this moment in time. But that's just simply the reality of it. I remember when I was a young police officer in 1975, it was my first week on the job. I still didn't even have a uniform. I had a gun and a suit. I was riding in a patrol car with a more senior officer. And I remember the first fatal accident I came across, looking into the vehicle at the, I call it the dull face of death. Somebody that dies suddenly and unexpectedly, that almost always have the same look on their face. It's very haunting. And I remember the first time seeing that, not having experienced that before. The suddenness of death and the realization that death is no respecter of persons. Whether you're 5 years old, 15 years old, 55 years old, really makes no difference. Death has no respect of persons, just like the devil himself. Will come and take life wherever he can find it. And I remember the same week, we got a call that there was a bank robbery going on in progress, and we were simply a block away from this bank. And I remember that my partner saying, "Well, you go in first, they won't recognize you." Now, I had almost no experience. I've got a gun, and the odds of hitting something is not very good at this point. And I remember coming in the door as the two assailants went out the other side, and by God's grace, there was not a confrontation inside that facility. But I remember the same week thinking that what I saw earlier in the week could have also come my way. And I could be the one with that sudden icy stare, that half-stare look. I can't explain it. If you've seen it, you know what it is. Fear of dying was a very real part of my life. It's what caused me to have panic attacks from the time I was 15 till the time I was 24 years of age. That sudden foreboding that would come into the heart, that sudden feeling like all is not well, that sudden sense that I'm going to die, I'm not ready to die, I don't want to die. It's a strange thing, isn't it, that God puts such a strong will to live in the human heart. Even those who don't believe there's anything beyond this life still have that strong will to live. It's actually an aberration when a person loses that. When the person loses the will to live, that it is even against nature itself. Because God, from the moment we first breathed and gasped for that first breath of air, when we came out of our mother's womb, there's within us a desire planted by God to live. We don't know why it's there. It's just there. Remember as a young cop one time, going into a back alley, it's a hot summer night, and I just heard a whole bunch of garbage cans fall down. And that generally in this area means that somebody's piled them on top of each other to break into one of these stores. I'm all alone. Got a flashlight in my hand, walked into this long, dark alley, and I'm walking in the area where I saw the garbage cans, or heard the garbage cans rather, fall down, when suddenly right in the middle of my back, right about this height, a great big dog barked about 6 inches from my back. It's a Great Dane, actually. Now, up to this point, I'd never had what you call an out-of-body experience. But I did at that moment. There's this little man inside that just went, ah, and just went somewhere way up into the sky and left the uniform and everything and came back down. And I turned around to see this dog with a massive head who was just hungry, going through the garbage cans looking for something to eat, very lost, very alone. And this big Great Dane became, turned from being my greatest fear to my greatest friend. He actually a very friendly fellow and stayed with me most of the night. We kind of walked the beat together. You know, the funny thing is, I wasn't afraid of anything after that. I mean, this thing is a horse, and it was walking with me, and anybody even getting close would go to the other side of the street. Now, they didn't know this dog was very friendly. But that's what you and I have to face. It's the fear of the uncertainty of what happens after death and that inner knowing that all is not well. The fear of meeting God unprepared is in every human heart. The inner sense that there's more to life than this, irrespective of what we profess that we believe. Just because you say there's nothing after this life does not mean there isn't. But what a tragedy to go to pass out of this life only to find out that you and I are created as infinite beings by a holy God. We have eternal life whether we want it or not. The question really that has to be answered on this side is where are we going to spend that eternity? What is eternity going to bring to us when death suddenly visits us? And it can happen in a moment of time. We'd all like to think that when we come to the end of our days that we'll have this more or less stretched out time that we can make wrongs right and we can get in right relationship with people and God and do whatever needs to be done. But that's really not the way it happens most of the time. For many, many people, it's just a sudden. It's sudden. It's going to sleep at night with all kinds of plans for the morning only to wake up and find out that you're standing at the judgment throne of God. No time to make past wrongs right. It's that fear of meeting God unprepared. That's most likely why you're here tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you're not even interested in eternal life, if you don't have these inner gnawing questions, it wouldn't really make sense to be here tonight in this kind of an environment unless there is something inside of you that says, I don't really want to die. I know I have to one day, but I'm not prepared to. And if I do, I don't know where I'm going. And if I even had remotely had an idea, I don't know how to get there. I don't know what awaits me beyond this life. It's an amazing thing that people, many people don't cry out to God until the last moment of time. But even in that cry, it's not with knowledge quite often. What does it mean that Jesus, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man? Well, here it is in its simplest form. When humankind sinned against God, sin being disobedience, sin being living in a way that God says that humankind is not to live, sin being meaning doing things, walking in a certain way that defies the fact that we have a divine creator. Our life, in a sense, becomes a denial of the fact that there is a God and that he has the sovereign right to each of our lives. And we begin to live this way, and the sin in our lives, which is disobedience to God, cuts us off from God, not just here on the earth, but forever. The Bible says conclusively that sin cannot dwell in the presence of God, period. You cannot die in sin and stand in the presence of God and somehow feel that we're going to be received into an eternity with God. That's just not the way it is. It's not going to happen that way. No matter what kind of a delusion we try to formulate in our hearts, that simply is not the reality of it. We do not die here in sin and go and live in a place of bliss called heaven. That's simply not it. The Bible says, on the contrary, we are cast away from the presence of God. And I don't think the human mind can comprehend that. You can't comprehend what that is like. Because God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere in the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God. The air you breathe has been given you by God. The heart that beats is being allowed to beat by God, all for the sole purpose of returning back to Him for eternity. He's wooing you. He's whispering to you all the time, no matter where you are. As you heard tonight, whether you're doing drugs, whether you're in a club, whether you're in the wrong place, He is still whispering, come back to me. There's that still, that inner longing that God Himself plants there that says your life is not complete. Your eternity is not secured. You have to come back to me. Christ Jesus, God Himself, became a man and walked through this earth and went to a cross so that you and I don't have to be cast away from the presence of God. That is the ultimate power of death, is that we are cast away from God. And as I said earlier, your mind can't comprehend that. You and I don't fully grasp what that is like. What would it be like to be cast into utter darkness, as the scripture says, farther and farther and farther and farther away from all hope, all help, all life, anything that offers any kind of consolation is taken away from us. There's a real reason to fear dying if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But God became a man, walked through this earth for 33 years, then went to a cross and suffered everything that you and I, because of our sin, deserve. He took it upon Himself that He should taste death for every man. In other words, what we deserve. God turned His back on Him on the cross. We don't fully get what that means, but we will perhaps understand it when we get to heaven. But God turned His back on His own Son so that He wouldn't have to turn His back on you. Jesus tasted death for every man and made a way that you and I, through His sacrifice, can have an assurance in our heart that when we die, that we're not going to be cast away from God, but received by God for all of eternity into a place called heaven and all of what that means. And our minds can't comprehend that as well. As much as one is darkness, the other is glory. One is sorrow, the other is joy, ever increasing joy. He tasted death. He tasted death. What a tragedy it would be after being in a place like this tonight, hearing a word like this, hearing testimonies like this, to one day stand, and you will stand before the throne of God. I don't care who puts what on a billboard. There is a God, and we are going to stand before Him. What a tragedy to stand before a holy God. And there's only one question that you will ever have to answer. What did you do with my Son? I sent my Son to the earth to die for you, to make a way that you, for you to come back into right relationship with me and to spend eternity in heaven. And the issue is not how many times did you go to church or how many good deeds did you do, but what did you do with my Son? The Bible requires that we open our hearts to Him. We bend our knee and acknowledge that we've sinned against God and admit that we need a Savior. And open our hearts and receive Him into our lives as our Savior and our Lord. And the Bible calls that saved, born again by the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that when you open your heart to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and takes and actually lives with inside your physical body. You become the temple, as it is, of the Holy Spirit. God Himself comes and lives inside of you and puts a cry for God in you. You begin to call Him, as according to the scriptures, you call Him Abba, Father. You're never able to call God your Father before, but now you begin to realize, oh God, You created me. I am created for You. I am Your Son. I'm Your daughter. You loved me so much. You weren't willing to lose me. You came to the earth and died to bring me back to You again. And the moment you open your heart to Jesus Christ, this fear of dying, He says, and deliver them through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I used to be terribly afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of dying anymore. The Holy Spirit just takes that fear. I know where I'm going when I die. I don't have to plea bargain before God. The price was paid. I don't need a defense when I stand there. Jesus is all I need. He is my defense. He's my covering. He's everything I will ever need. Paul says these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death is swallowed up in victory. the power of death, the separating power of death, the finality of death, the fear of death, the sting of death is all swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. Oh, death, he says, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Paul was saying, there is no sting in death anymore. There is no victory in the grave. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. When I die, you bury my body, dig a post hole and bury it. I don't care where you put it. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm not going to be there. Hallelujah. I wrote a song one time called I Won't Be Crying For You. I'll be dancing at the throne of God. I'll be there worshiping like we heard this morning and this afternoon with worship that is almost unfathomable to the natural mind. I'll be shouting with the saints of old, salvation and glory to our God. Hallelujah. That you would reach down and touch me. My God, and deliver me from myself and deliver me from sin, deliver me from hell, that you would die for me to give me life. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. I live in victory. This choir lives in victory. These pastors live in victory. We found Jesus Christ. Open our hearts to him. The victory is deeper than just a mental ascent to a truth. It's an actual experience with the living God where Christ comes in and begins to change us from the inside out, takes away these things that used to govern our lives, gives us help and hope and a new mind and a new heart. The only thing I can say to you tonight is what the psalmist David said is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I can tell you how it tastes, but you got to come and taste it for yourself. I'm not afraid of dying. From panic attacks for 9 years to everything else that I've experienced over the years, the Lord has sent us into some of the most dangerous places of the world to preach the gospel. I'm not afraid of dying. The Lord, the word of God is true, who delivered them who all their lives were in bondage because of the fear of dying. Do you know that most of what you do is because you're afraid of dying? The hoarding of money, the worrying about tomorrow. All of these things that are in everyone's life are all rooted in one source. It's that inner fear that I'm not ready to meet God. And you're right about that in many cases. But the Lord will take that away and brings you and I to a place where we're not worried about tomorrow. We have the power of an endless Christ covering us, loving us, guiding us, strengthening us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. My friend, let me end with a plea tonight. Don't end up in hell when you can go to heaven. If all hell is the absence of God, that is fearful enough for you and I to turn and say, well, I don't know what the absence of God is, but it doesn't sound good, and I don't want to go there. The presence of God sounds a whole lot better to me. A God who creates, a God who loves, a God who would be willing to die for his own creation. A God who said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. A God who talks about those who trust in him, walking with him through all eternity. An explosive understanding of things. The scripture says, in that day we will know even as we are known. There'll be an ever, never-ending expansion of knowledge and understanding. The glory of God filling your heart and filling your soul. Don't sell it off for a few days of fading pleasure. Don't sell it off for foolish arguments that aren't true. Don't sell it off for a lifestyle that leaves you deeper and darker and more fearful as time progresses. Don't lose out on this great victory that Jesus Christ has given you. Tonight, if you have the courage, you know it takes more courage not to receive Christ than to receive Him. I should be saying, if you have the courage to go to hell, keep your hand down. But to those who would receive Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, I'm not one for this bow your head and close your eyes stuff. I think if you start your walk with God that way, you'll end up walking that way. Jesus died on a hill. He died naked according to the tradition of that day. He died shamed. He died beaten. And He did it for me and did it for you. So I don't see any reason why we have to hang our heads when it comes to receiving Him as Savior. I don't care what anybody thinks in this or any other place. And you shouldn't either. Salvation is an individual choice between you and God. It has nothing to do with your neighbor, your family, your church, or your history. It's an individual choice that you make to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you'd like to do that tonight, and perhaps it's the first time you've ever done this, I'm going to ask you unashamedly, as Jesus died for you on Calvary, unashamedly, raise your hand right now, all over. God bless you. Go ahead, unashamed, raise it high. Do it all over the sanctuary. God bless you. God bless you. Unashamedly. Unashamedly. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and neither should you be. The God who created this universe, the one who gave you life, you wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't have been conceived in your mother's womb without the permission of God. The one who gave you life because He had a plan for you, not just for time, but for eternity. God forbid that any of us should ever be ashamed of Him. It should be as natural as breathing to walk with God and to live for God. It should be something that when we finally hear this truth, we rush to it instead of away from it. How tragic that many just shy away because of the temporary criticism of a few sneering people in this world. That we lose out on the greatest gift of God to humanity. Now, I know I seem to be speaking very strongly tonight, but I sense that I'm fighting for somebody's soul tonight. I'm fighting for somebody in here. Bottom line, sir, you're just so afraid of people. You haven't got the guts to come to God. You're afraid of people. You're not brave. And you're not intelligent. You're afraid. And if you had the courage to admit it tonight and realize that we're here fighting for your soul, not against you, but for you, not trying to cast you down, but to lift you up, not trying to throw you into something that you're never going to understand, but to bring you into an incredible knowledge of God. I plead for your soul tonight. I plead for you. I plead for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Don't hold back. God is calling you to Himself. In a moment, we're going to stand. And when we do, I'm going to ask those who raise their hands to come and join me here at the front of the sanctuary. And for others who are considering, this is the greatest step of faith you might ever take in your entire life. But it's one you're never going to regret, because tonight Jesus Christ will receive you to Himself. You'll become a son or a daughter of God. The Holy Spirit will come and make His abode inside of you, and you will never be the same again. Some here tonight need to turn to the person beside you and say, listen, if you want to go down, I'm going to go with you. Maybe you're just nervous to come here by yourself, but this is an incredible step that God is asking you to take, to get out of your seat and come forward to an altar. And it's important to do it this way because it is a public statement that I am going with God. I have a sense in my heart that this is right tonight. I have a sense this is true, and I'm making the choice tonight to go with God. I'm making the choice. I am going with God. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what the neighbors say. I don't care what the family says. I don't care what my sneering coworkers say. I don't care if they laugh at me like they laugh at some other Christians on the job site. I'm going with God tonight. I'm going with the God who created me. Let's stand, please. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, you raised your hand. And for those who'd like to receive Jesus Christ, you'd like to be washed clean of your sin, delivered from the fear of dying, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and please just come and meet me here at the front of this thing. Join these that are coming over here. In the balcony, you can go to either exit. Maybe you want to turn and talk to the person beside you and see if they want to come with you. But do it now, folks. Please do it now. Come on, just come on right in. God bless you. Fine young couple. God bless you. Come on. Get down here. Praise God. Just keep coming. Join these that are young men. Another couple young ladies. God bless you. God bless you. Just keep coming. Where's that tough guy that the Holy Spirit's been talking to tonight? Is that you? Come on. On the way. Let's go. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's your family? Your cousin. Praise God. You're coming to Christ tonight? Awesome. Is that your little girl? She's going to have a new daddy tonight. You know that, eh? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Up in the balcony. Come on, most of the hiders are up on this side in the balcony up here. You know how I know? Because it's the first stairway. It's the quickest up, and it's the quickest down up in the balcony. That's why most are. You're up in the balcony over here, and you're singled out by God himself tonight. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. I know that there's somebody up there. Make your way down here. Your heart is pounding because the Holy Spirit is calling you. It's God calling you. God's got his finger on your life tonight. This is not coincidence. The Holy Spirit's got his hand on you. You come. I see some folks making their way now. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Here come some more young people down here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's a whole family. God bless you. God bless you. Here comes some more over here. Make your way down, all the way down. Come on. And so over here, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll never be the same again. Never. Never. Never, never be the same again. Is there somebody else? We'll wait for you just for a moment. This is your time. This is the moment. This is the call of God on your life. To give your life to Jesus Christ. I see a gentleman over here coming down the aisle. Is there somebody else? God bless you. Here comes another man over here. Praise God. Somebody else. Here comes another gentleman. Folks, come on. God is calling tonight. The Holy Spirit is calling. You know this is right. You know it's true. Praise the Lord. You thought you were just coming in to get out of the snowstorm and you're going to end up in heaven tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Folks, can we just thank God for what he's doing tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Now we're going to pray together, those that have come to the altar this evening. Now this, when you pray this, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The Lord will receive you to himself. He will forgive your sin. He will cleanse you. And the Bible says he will come to live inside of you and make you into a different person. And on your part is to receive it by faith. That means that I can't see it, but I believe it. I somehow know this is true, and I believe that God will be honest with me. What he's spoken to me, he will do it for me. He won't lie to me. Because ultimately, if God could lie to you, then there's nobody else you can believe in the entire universe. But the Bible says that God cannot lie. He can't lie. And everything he speaks in this book to you is true. He will change you and forgive you and receive you. And take out of your heart the fear of dying. Dying won't be something you have to be afraid of. Paul, the apostle, said, when we leave this body, we're immediately in the presence of the Lord. Immediately in God's presence. Immediately loved by God. Immediately, everything that we were created for eternity comes into view. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands, please? Well, you can, I'm sorry. But those who can, just lift your hands and pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have sinned against God. But I thank you, Lord, that you've put in my heart to turn away from living a wrong way and to begin to live the way God says that I should live. Tonight I open my heart, and Jesus Christ, I receive you into my life as the Son of God who died just for me so that I might be forgiven and that I might know that when I die that I'm going to heaven to be with God forever. While I'm on this earth, you will give me power to be the person that you created me to be. You will change me. You will give me giftings that only God can give to help me to be what only God could make me. I yield my life to you, Jesus. My life belongs to you from this day forward. Lead me. Guide me. I am yours. And I thank you for receiving me, for taking the fear out of my heart. I believe with all my heart that this day my sin is forgiven. I believe with all my heart that this day I am a child of God. I believe with all my heart that I have a future. I have a good future. I have a God future. I believe that God will put within me a new song, a new testimony, a new story. I believe it with all my heart because I'm saved. Hallelujah! 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 Yes! 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 Saved! Say it! Saved! I'm saved! I'm saved! Saved! Say it like you believe it. I'm saved. Saved! 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 If you were sinking in the ocean and somebody came and picked you up in a boat, you'd say, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm not going down, I'm going up. Hallelujah! I'm saved. Saved! Saved with me. Saved! 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 Hallelujah! 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 Saved! Oh, thank God I'm saved! Thank God! Thank God I'm saved! Hallelujah! 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 Saved! 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 There's nothing greater in the whole world than being saved! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Forgive me for that, but I get excited for you tonight. Saved. Some of you are going to go to the mission field because you're saved. You're going to have a testimony in your family because you're saved. You're going to speak differently because you're saved. You're going to do different things because you're saved. Hallelujah. Saved. You won't need any evidence of the reality of God. It will be all over you and in you God will prove himself. The reality of who he is, he will prove it to you. You don't have to prove it. Hallelujah. He'll do it for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.